Let's go ahead and roll the show. You're listening to A Couple In with Cody Jinks. In the center left of the screen today, we have Joshua Thompson coming out of Boyd, Texas. Morning, buddy.
Hey, man. It is morning for us. How's it going?
That's pretty good, man. 1 o'clock in the afternoon is morning for us.
It's still morning.
All right. Just outside of Waco, Texas, Bobby Keith Kilgore. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. I can't complain. I woke up at home and free today, so I'm good. We got Seth Nose Worthy out of Nashville, Tennessee, turning the knobs for us today. Good day to you, Seth. Thank you, as always. And our special guest today, very special guest, on short notice, to say the least, man, couldn't thank you enough for being here. WWE superstar AJ Styles is with us today.
Yes, sir.
Loud and proud. Coming in from last night, tired, and but still being here bright-eyed and bushy-tailed with us, man. Thank you.
And, dude, coming in on some major news, I had no idea until I started. I was like, whoa, this is like, how did this happen? And how did we land him, like, the day after?
Do we just, like, just go in right for the knockout, like, big news punch, or do we like, save it?
I don't know. It's big news. I mean,
let's go.
We're going to have a great conversation anyway. It's going to be worthy of people sticking around and listening to the whole thing. But if you haven't heard, New Day has been challenged by AJ Styles and my own personal Colossus, Omos, at WrestleMania for the Tag Team Championship. Mind you, the only championship I've never held in WWE are the Tag Team Championships. So that would make me, if we are able to beat New Day, a Grand Slam champion that very few have been able to do. So,
well,
that's unbelievable. Congratulations. That's
incredible news.
Well, does it mean, I don't know if I'm going to win, guys.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. The fact is that we, because I was at my son's baseball practice last night, which is really impeding my my wrestling watching. But that, you know, it's cool. I had to go. So I get this text from Keith that, you know, with the big news, man. So congratulations, man. That is super cool. And that's coming from, you've done things in this business that really few or nobody has ever done. I've got more things written down about your body of work. You've got 26 total championships, including 8 world championships, and you hold championships in, gosh,
it's a lot. Yeah,
I've literally
worked almost everywhere you possibly could work. You know, once my career with TNA, you know, once I left them, man, I went on a rampage, literally, and just went and had fun, worked on my craft, hopefully made the people better around me, enjoyed myself, made some money in the meantime, and, you know, better understood who AJ Styles was that helped me get to this level that I'm at right now.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but you are the only one that has the NWA, TNA, IWGP, and WWE championships. Is that still...
That may be true. I know the IWGP is definitely a select few for sure.
Yeah.
That may be true because the IWGP, which is the New Japan Heavyweight Championship, you know, yeah, not a lot have done that. Not a lot of Americans have done that. So that was a big one for me.
Golly.
For sure. Not a little on the WWE Championship. Who would have thought? But, you know, when I was watching tapes, right? Because when we were young, we watched tapes. VCR tapes. I watched a lot of the New Japan as well. And it was awesome. It was really cool. And the thought of having the opportunity to hold that championship was big to me, along with, you know, who thought I'd be in the WWE and winning that championship was like, wow, man. I can't believe some of the stuff I've done.
I've got to go through all this stuff because it's too daggum cool. You are considered to be one of the best wrestlers in the world. And that's coming from Kurt Angle, who said, I would have to say he's the best wrestler I've wrestled. The best wrestler I've wrestled is AJ Styles. In 2020, Stone Cold Steve Austin, who has been on this show and has been super cool to us over the years, said, the best wrestler on 2 feet. And The Undertaker said, you're probably the best wrestler in the business. The closest to Shawn Michaels there is. That's big words coming from a lot of big dudes, dude.
That's huge. I don't know that I'd agree with them, but I appreciate that. I really do. And those guys would give me the smallest tidbit of information and I would use it. You know, I'd like to think that I'm only as good as the information that I've gotten from other performers to be what I am today. You know, I learned from every one of them, whether they're bad or good, I've learned from them. And to, you know, learn from Kurt Angle, who has been there with the best, and then to get the opportunity to, little tidbits from Stone Cold, even the little things. For instance, one of the things he told me is like, hey man, your ring jacket, almost too much going on when I first got there. And I said, okay, what do you think? And I literally within weeks it was changed. And, I don't think he was wrong in what he was saying. It worked. It kind of less is more, but just the little things that help you get to where you're at today, as you know, right?
And going back to something you said a while ago, trying to help the people around you get better. And that's what the true professionals do. It's not a me against this guy. We're all in this together. It's listening. It's taking things for, you know, in my case, you know, stuff, somebody that I look up to, like say Jamie Johnson, who will say, hey man, you know, this or that, or this, and listening to those little nuggets that they give you. And then you passing those on, you know, mm-hmm. and that's the important thing about, you know, this, listen, man, we're in the same business. We do different things, but you know, we're in the same business. And I do want to dive into that. Tell us a little bit. I mean, what kind of kid were you? Were you athletic? Did you know that, you know, were you going into wrestling? Were you going to be a football player? You know, what was it that got you started?
Into sports, very much so. I got three brothers. I like to think that I was the most athletic one of us all, but I was also the smallest one. So I had two older brothers that I wanted to be like, I wanted to play with, and they beat the piss out of me on a regular basis. So it toughened me up for sure. If you wanted to play ball, you better catch it. You know, they weren't just soft tossing the baseball. They were zooming it in there. So, you know, I had an advantage, when I started T-ball, I wasn't scared of the ball. I've been hit with it plenty of times. So put me at the pitcher's mound. I'll catch it. I promise you. So I was sliding into second base, you know, long before any other kids were thinking about sliding into second base. You know, T-ball is just, yeah, come on, these are just 5-year-old kids. But I'd watch my brothers play. So I was acting just like them at 5 years old. Unfortunately, in my elementary school, we did not have football because there were enough kids to come out. So it was baseball and basketball. As I got up to middle school, I saw a lot of the guys playing football. And then I realized, oh, I better get my grades up if I want to play sports in high school. So my ninth grade year, I finally went out for football. And that same year, I had a coach ask me to come out for wrestling. Now, this made my dad mad because he loved watching me play basketball. I wasn't the best. I would just get after it a lot. But my dad didn't know anything about wrestling. Anyway, long story short, wrestling was super hard. Within the first week, I was like, coach, I can't do this. It's tough. It's really, really hard. And he goes, just give me one more week. And if you want to quit, you can. I go, okay. Too late. I already fell in love with it. And they didn't have a 152 weight class. So as a freshman, there I was wrestling at 152 and getting slaughtered my first year. Wrestling's all about experience, and I had zero. But then, you know, football, you know, I love football. I love the, you know, intensity, the impact, the everything you do. You don't have to be nice to anybody unless they're on your team. You can – I don't think I tackled people to tackle them. attacking them to make sure that they thought I'm not going to run to that side anymore. Like, I don't know if a lot of these guys have the same mentality. I know some linemen that I talked to did not have that same mentality. They're like, well, why would you want to hurt somebody? I'm like, I don't know why. I just don't want them to be able to walk, you know? But in wrestling is where I think I did really well at. I was a two-time state champion my junior and senior year. So I was able to learn quickly and do well at that. But never did I think that I would go into professional wrestling. I could do all the flips basically because my girlfriend, now my wife, showed me how. She was a cheerleader. I mean, like, it's just little things you pick up along the way that somehow was a great mixture of what your career was going to be. You know, who would have thought?
I was about to say, because you're a high flying, I mean, you love the ropes and the acrobats, and you're telling me that you learned that when you were 14 years old from your girlfriend, who's now your wife.
Well, we were probably 16.
So did, I mean, your wife, Wendy?
Yeah, Wendy. Okay.
I mean, how old were you guys whenever y'all got together? Because you've been married for a long time, right?
Yeah, we've been married since 2000.
Yeah.
But we started dating in 96. Imagine that, you know, I don't know if you guys had that girl in your school. That is the sweetest girl in school. Everybody loves her. That was my wife. And then this guy who had a previous relationship with the girl who they were always fighting in the hallway. Mm-hmm. That was me. And so then you have this weird dynamic of those two dating, and they were like, don't date him. What are you, crazy? Do not date Alan Jones. I'm telling you, he's the worst guy you could possibly date, Wendy. So even her cheerleading coach was like, we got to talk about this. Holy crap. Yeah. Like, it was that bad. It was just perception more than it was anything. I don't think I was a bad kid. I just, you know, made bad decisions, I guess.
We have such a parallel. I married my high school sweetheart. I married the girl with the prettiest smile that everybody was intimidated to ask out. And I was the class clown, the joker, the, you know, the football player that is like, man, you don't probably not a good idea to date that guy. And we're still married. I mean, so, you know, I was reading up a little bit about you, and I was like, man, there's a really good parallel there, man.
And both of them are school teachers.
Yeah, yeah. And you married school teachers.
Yeah, she was a school teacher. When the recession hit, she was part-time. So she didn't keep her tenure, so they were able to let her go, which I thought was a stupid idea. Because she had her master's, though, so that means you're paying her more as well. So that's probably one of the reasons. But she was such a good teacher, and she's so good. I don't ever want her to go back teaching because it's hard work. It's really hard work for a teacher these days to just be a good teacher, to be a good person, to come up with, you know, lesson plans and whatnot. Like, it takes a special person to build it. And then they are out there. It's just they don't get paid enough.
Oh, God bless them. And if you've been married to one or you are one listening to this podcast, God bless you. It's the same thing. My wife isn't in the classroom any longer. She gave her career up, and now she homeschools our children, and she's able, she does basically teacher conferences and stuff online now, doing Zoom meetings and stuff like that, basically is like doing consultant work. But now she's full-time teaching our children at home. And you know, you're right, man. It's it is a very, very hard profession to be great at. Now, did you have a specific teacher or maybe a coach in your life that made a difference in, you know, you look back and go, man, you know, this lady or this man really, had a lot to do with where I'm at now.
Well, I mean, everybody has that teacher, that they'll never forget because they made them believe in themselves that they could do the work. They were smart enough. You know, my fourth grade teacher, Miss Holmes, and even my eighth grade teacher, Miss Noble, she just taught English. But like, she wanted to see me pull through, you know, but it was, you know, the coaches also for me, I don't know where I'd be without them. I really don't. My wrestling coach, a couple of my football coaches, I wanted to do well for them. I wanted to be on their team. I wanted to work hard for them. They instilled that in me. I literally don't know where I would be without some of these teachers and these especially coaches for me, because that was not that I didn't have a father. Sometimes I just didn't have how can I put this? The best father. So there were some father figures that I saw in other coaches, I guess you could say. And I don't know where I'd be without them. I really don't.
Yeah, it's important. And the funny thing about a great your teachers or your coaches, I ran into one of my coaches about a year ago, and I couldn't call him by his name. Is he still coach?
Yeah.
I'm 40 years old now, and you know, this guy's still, he's long since retired, and he's still coach. You know, so your teacher is always going to be Mr. or Miss so and so, and your coach is always going to be coach, and things like that. Man, it's important.
It's funny, at one of the rival schools, right, of my son's school, I've got two coaches and that, you know, do something in administration or, you know, help out with the football team. And, man, we played that team this year. I went over to the other stands, you know, hugged on those guys, you know, just like they're still the same guys, man. They're still cool, man. My wrestling coach retired maybe it was 2 years ago. Just an awesome dude. Just like, I don't know if I'm sure they do, because I see my son be attached to some coaches, but man, it's almost like they don't make them like that anymore. I want to say that, but I'm sure they do.
They're still out there. The great ones are still out there, and thank God that we're, you know, we still get more of them. You just mentioned your son. You have four children, right? Three boys, one girl.
Yeah.
And athletic, what are they into? I know my kids, you know, we got baseball and ballet and all the fun things. What are your kids digging?
Well, I didn't think I was going to make it here on time, because my oldest son forgot. Well, he didn't forget it. They needed to be washed, his baseball clothes, for the game tonight. But it got rained out, so he can wait for his, for his stuff. My oldest son he goes from football to basketball to baseball to travel baseball, and it starts all over again with football. It's been like that since he was five. So me and my wife, we have no life. My second oldest, he plays football and he wrestles. My third son does whatever he wants. He's going to probably be a computer whiz. And then my daughter was trying to figure out what exactly she wants to do. Is it gymnastics? Is it cheerleading? What is it she wants to do? Mind you, a lot of dads aren't into cheerleading. I am. Competitive cheerleading. It's awesome. My wife was an amazing cheerleader, like off the charts.
Mm-hmm.
Good. So I would love to see my daughter do something. I'm not crazy about her wearing all that wet makeup and doing the silly faces and stuff like that. But
yeah,
with it.
Yeah, we're doing kind of the same thing with my daughter right now. She's 11, so she's really into ballet. My wife was in drill team, and she danced competitively in drill team. My baby sister was a competitive. She competed in cheerleading as well. You know, so my daughter.
You know how hard it is, right? Like it's
incredibly difficult.
It's you have no idea, and it's crazy that I'm sitting here bragging on this. But when you see it happening, you're like, "Holy crap! How do they do this stuff?"
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And watch your little sister. My sister was a flyer. I saw her hit the ground before. Like, you're sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, that hurt." Yeah. I know that hurt.
Yeah.
You know, those girls are tough.
Yeah. My wife's 4'10". So yes, she was a flyer as well. She's tiny, man. So, but she was amazing.
Awesome. That's cool, man. Now it's funny talking about the parallels and now I did see a picture of you and was it one of your sons or how many of your kids were at the Super Bowl?
My two oldest.
Your two oldest, you and your two oldest, wearing your Cody Jinx Gators.
That's right.
Yeah, that was super. That's right. Cool.
Yeah, man, we represent.
You look good in red. You always have a little bit of red. You look good in red, and those red Gators, just, man, you looked awesome.
Well, it's, you know, it's a Georgia thing. You know, I don't know if you noticed this hat they got on here.
I see that.
But we were able to find some tickets through Kansas City, and we appreciate that because it was an experience that we'll never forget. But I was secretly rooting for Tom Brady. my kids were like, not, dude. Right? They're Mahomes guys, which is because they're younger, but I was like, he's my age though.
I was about to say, we got to stick with the old guys.
The old guys still kicking butt, man.
Yeah, I was like, there was, I forget what happened. I was like, yes. And they were like, dad. I'm like, oh, sorry. Cause I was, it was for Tom Brady.
Was the atmosphere, was it, I mean, like any other NFL game, was it, you know, the cardboard cutouts and stuff, was it still good? Or
it was still good, man. People were still excited to be there. Cardboard cutouts were weird, but nobody was sitting in front of you where you couldn't see. So you didn't have anything to worry about that. Dude, and I am so blessed that I was able to get seats, but I can tell you this. I was like seventh row from the very top. but we were happy to be there. It was just an experience for like – and we made the Super Bowl. We found probably the hardest one that you were going to be able to attend. Yeah. So we can say that, me and my boys.
You went to the COVID Bowl.
COVID Bowl, that's right.
Well, and you got to see the old goat and the new goat. And I'm a huge football fan, just sports fan in general. I've seen Tom Brady play. I've seen Patrick Mahomes play. The two of the greatest in the game, two of the most fun, most dynamic quarterbacks in the league, old school and the new school. So that had to be cool just to see two guys, you know. And even though the game was a little lopsided, but you know, still cool.
And it's completely different. You know, you got Mahomes, who was completely different than Tom Brady in the way he plays and everything. So what was the defensive scheme that Tampa had to, you know, make sure Mahomes wasn't getting the ball off well and whatever it was, and if it was blitzing him, whatever, it was the right call. So As great as Tom Brady is, you got to give a lot of credit to the defensive coach, whoever that was, whoever came up with the scheme.
Yeah.
So AJ, hey, so I'm looking here, and I'm sure we'll get back to wrestling, but I saw that you're into a world that's new and budding, and I don't really know what it is, but it's this Twitch streaming and gaming, and
well, like, I was.
So are you not doing that anymore?
Nope. Vince
said we couldn't
do it. Vince said we couldn't do it anymore, which is understandable. Understandable. I mean, we are taking his product,
yeah,
which is this, and we're making money off of it when he's paying us to do a job with it, you know. So I get it. I understand it. There were some of the things that played into that. I am a gamer. That there's no doubt about that. But as far as the Twitch, I had to let it go by the wayside.
But what is that, like, that entail? Like, is it people just literally watching you play video games, or is it you talking and interacting? Like, I've heard some people talk about this world of it's a new medium, and I don't get it because I'm old, I guess. And
well, no, I was hoping to branch out. I've got to where I was. I started off playing games. I started off on Mixer, which is like Twitch, but it was I think it was a Microsoft, and I started off small so I can get my footwork in there and make sure I knew what I was doing. So when the time come, and which it did, because Mixer went out of business or was sold, and I went to Twitch, and I was amazed at how huge this Twitch community was, and it was great. By the time I got to Twitch, it was more or less me just talking for 2 hours rather than playing any game. Every now and then I'd play a game, but you could have your show that you're doing right now on Twitch. It'd be live. It'd be no different. It's just the followers that you get, they could drop you a couple things to make a little extra cash, like they can donate and stuff like that. So it's actually really awesome that people have found another way of making money just by chatting it up with it. And I was hoping to do that. I was literally hoping to do a live podcast.
Yeah.
That was the direction I wanted to go. Yeah. But here we are.
Okay.
And instead, you have to be on this podcast.
I have to be on this podcast.
which is completely independent and unsponsored and like a total little guy podcast. So,
listen, we're trying to make it, it just grows a little bit by little bit, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you've had Stone Cold Steve Austin on here. I mean, I haven't listened to it yet, but I'm going to.
Great. Yeah.
He's so good, man. He's an awesome dude. He's us. He's like us, dude. Yeah. I mean, honestly.
I was going to say, I got to meet him in LA, and he was so, he brought this gift bag for my kids. I went out to do a show in LA, and my wife and children were able to go, and and Steve's a fan. And anyway, we got to meet up with him. He brings this huge bag of goodies for the kid, everything, action figures and all this cool stuff. And was just as nice and down to earth. And we went and had a few beers, and he was just lovely to his fans and everybody. And I've seen a lot of that in you. The first time we got to meet you, and that's really why we wanted to have you on. We've kept in touch with you, but the first time we met you, we were actually on your tour bus, and we were invited up there by a couple of your former partners, and it was down in Houston last year at the Royal Rumble. And at the time, my son was 7 years old, and we got to go on your tour bus. And I know how big of a deal that is, because when people come onto our tour bus, they think this is the coolest thing ever. So my son doesn't think that my tour bus is cool, but getting to go on your tour bus was super cool.
That's the way it always works.
Yeah. And you go in the back and you come back out and you're like, I've never worn this before. This is a brand new that I'm going to wear tonight. And and he got to see what you were going to wear. And you come back with like all this cool stuff, elbow pads, and like just give to this like 7 year old kid who's thinking like, well, my dad's kind of cool, but this is way better, you know? So that's, and as somebody that grew up a big fan of wrestling, after I got older, I still keep up with it. I still like it. I still enjoy it. It's something that I've taken my whole family to see WWE events. I've taken it, just me, Josh, and Keith, and my son have gotten, you know, like when we got to go meet you last year. But, you know, that's what it's all about, man. And that's whenever I became, because I'm not really a fan of anybody in particular anymore. As an adult, I still enjoyed a great deal. But that's when I became a fan of yours, you didn't have to do those things. You didn't have to be as gracious as you were, you know, to me or to my son, but you were, and that's when I became a fan.
Oh, appreciate it. But you know, I'm sure that had I went onto your tour bus at you had probably done the same thing for my kid, because you have kids, right? And for me, and not whether I do it, like, you're going to make lifelong fans, not of just of the kids, but of a parent can go, thanks, man. I appreciate that. I spent my money to take my kid, and you were really nice to him. You made his day. You made that moment for him. Thank you. You know, and they will come back. And I'm not doing it just so they'll come back. I'm doing it because I have kids, and that's how I would want to be treated. I'd love for someone to take the time to say hello to my kid and make it mean something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, that's exactly right.
You've been doing this so long. Do you have people that you recognize that come and see you that you're like, man, I remember that guy, you know, 10 years ago, 12 years ago? Do you have some of those faces you recognize?
The wrestlers that have come through that I've gotten the opportunity to talk to, like Stone Cold and The Undertaker and William Regal and guys like that, that I've always kind of looked up to, like, wow, there's the bar. If you're ever going to be good, reach for that, you know? I mean, I don't know, man. Sometimes I feel like I'm so to myself, I miss out on a lot of stuff. Like I'm just focused on here, where I got to go, get there. Oh, back to being a super dad. Okay.
You know, yeah.
That's kind of my lifestyle there. Not that I'm a super dad. My wife would probably tell you a lot different, but if it makes you feel any better, I did take my kids to school this morning as soon as I got home.
So, there you go.
Make me a super dad.
Absolutely.
After coming in ragged from being on
2 hours
road
of sleep.
You know what the problem is I'm comparing myself to my wife, who really is just like a super mom. And that's the problem. You can't compare. Don't compare yourself to your wife.
You got to stop that.
Man, they're the best.
Yep.
You'll never win. But you know, you were saying, you know, all these things you try to do, you know, juggle the home life, juggle the professional life, you know, the family thing, and talking with the guys that you said, you know, you looked at as them being the bar, and you know, through practice and trying to do things the right way and being good to people, AJ, you've become the bar.
Which sucks, right? Because
heavy is the crown, right?
Right, 100%, because you're trying to maintain that. You're just, at this point, I'm just trying to maintain some dignity, you know, because this body of mine is just, I beat the crap out of it. I really have. And yeah. I'm just trying to find the right places to do the right things and make them mean the most. Literally just take that sponge and squeeze as much out of it as I can, because I know it's coming. You know,
you get one go round, right?
That's it. That's yeah. it, man. It is. And when you said do things the right way, that's huge to me. I want to do things the right way. I don't want anything to be given to me. I'll work for it if you just give me a chance. And yeah. And at the end, you'll see that hard work pays off and good people, you know, cream rises to the top. I really believe that.
I understand. We always had the sense in what we do. I mean, Josh and I have been playing music together for a very long time. I guess in terms of like, you know, Josh is more a partner, I guess, than anything else at this point. We've just been doing it so long together. We were always the underdogs and we were always the little guys. And I don't mean just in stature, you know, but I mean, we always felt like we had to, you know, if everybody was given 100%, we had to give 200. You know, we felt like we were having to run twice as fast as everybody else to achieve the same thing. You know, is that how you feel? Is that how you felt? Is that how you got to where you're at?
Man, I'm going to say some stuff that it may sound controversial, but it's not what I mean by that. Because exactly right. Like, I feel like I had to work harder than everybody because I am the size that I am. I know how big I am, and it's not very big. I get it. I didn't have somebody to help me along the way. I didn't have a father. Just massive bodies. Just what was it that I was going to rely on? I really didn't have much. So it was experience at the end of the day. What I've been relying on the most, and as much experience as I can get, I can get better at my job. But there are other guys who have become bigger names in pro wrestling, but they all had a little something. Now, like if Stone Cold, for instance, went through where he got a chip on his shoulder, where basically he says he wasn't needed. I've been there. I know that chip.
We do.
But exactly. That's exactly what I'm talking about. When you say, well, you're not really our style, or you're really what you're asking for is not what you're worth. Oh, yeah. I'll show you. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to show everybody. And it's a great thing about that chip on your shoulder. Like it was a blessing to have it. It sent me in the right direction. But the point I'm making is you're 100% correct, is that because I wasn't the best looking guy in the world. I didn't have the best body in the world. I wasn't 6'5". I wasn't the most athletic. You know, I was somewhere in the middle of all of that. And I had to find my way to the top somehow, some way, somehow.
Yeah.
It was just determination, I think, at the end of the day, and hard work.
I think it was the same for us. You know, we were considered, I was considered to be unmanageable. There was a time nobody in the music business would touch me because I was considered a hard-headed, you know, F you all. You know, but that wasn't necessarily the case. You know, it was just, I did things according to what I thought was the right way to do it, you know, and I still have a chip on my shoulder, AJ. I don't think that chip's there. When that chip goes away, I think that I'll retire. I'm not there yet, thankfully, but you know, I love hearing about, and having talked with, you know, Steve keeps coming up, but having talked with Steve about the same thing and you know, him remembering being suplexed at a car dealership in Dallas when he was cutting his teeth, you know, many, many years ago, and us, you know, driving to Chicago literally to play a $50 show. Like we lost $1,000 getting there, but we needed to be on that show. So we just went for it and 'cause it was what we needed to do. You know, so it's the grit, it's the determination, it's the guy, because like you're billed at like 5'11", 220 ish, somewhere around there.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, which so it makes me, I mean, like, dude, you're picking up guys, you're doing you're doing your finisher on guys that weigh like 1.5 or 2 times your weight, man. Like that's incredible.
They're getting heavier. They're getting heavier. yeah, it's there's a reason why I have really three different finishers because one, if you're too tall, your head will just hit. So the stop.
Yeah,
because
your move is that's pretty complex, man.
Oh, I love it though, man.
So I had to do a little something different for everybody to make sure. I had the Big Show. Him and I, when I first got the WWE, I was telling him about this move that I do, and he goes, "So put it on me, okay?" And literally, we did the calf crusher where I do a front roll, he does a back roll all the way to his stomach, and I got him in the hold. Big Show did it. I was like, "Okay, I can hit this on everybody. This is good. This is good news."
So yeah, it'd be hard to styles clash somebody that tall though.
It's not happening. It's just not happening at all. And a lot of big guys aren't used to being upside down, so that's not a good thing either.
Yeah. Going back to you being a video gamer, how was it?
There comes see Keith is our resident gamer, so it's always going to come back. Yeah,
I love that. I had to be cool to be named the cover star for WWE 2K.
You have no idea how excited I was to be the star, or, you know, the cover star. But it was unbelievable for me. I was on a game that I helped, you know, give advice for that they ended up. Long story short. They ran out of time with the Impact Wrestling game way back when, and it was terrible. It was terrible. But I even helped with that, and I really wasn't on the cover. I was in the background throwing a forearm, and I was pissed. And then I get to the biggest, you know, wrestling company in the world, and they put me on their cover in 2019. Like, come on, man. But it was huge, man. Being a gamer, that was huge for me. And I was... Man, I'm so excited. So I can't even think of the word.
Yeah.
Because that's how excited. As a gamer, can you imagine being on the cover? You know, it's just and then, you know, of course, everything else as far as games goes. I have an addiction, if you want to know the truth.
Well, we got to get and Cody to play like Madden. All he'll play is Nintendo A and B and run and jump.
I tell you what, like the last system I had was a Sega Genesis, and now if I was able to brush up on some Madden 95 and I get to be the Dallas Cowboys, I will whip some tail.
Well, hold on. Now listen, let's keep it even. Everybody knows how to play Tecmo Bowl. Can we not get a Tecmo Bowl game?
Okay, I'd have to bone up too because it's been a minute, man. Because Tecmo Bowl. I mean, we're roughly the same. You got a couple years on me, but yeah, I played some Tecmo Bowl.
We can jump to Super Tecmo Bowl.
I was about to say, let's go Super.
That should be around where you're at. That now instead of dealing with four plays, you
let's
get
eight plays. You get eight plays. Right?
We'll change it up. No, Bo Jackson on that one though. So you can't pick the right.
Yeah, you can just run over everybody.
Yeah.
Sorry, Josh. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No. I was going to say. So that's your. You know, some guys play golf. Some guys do. That's your deal. Is come home and play some video games. Huh?
Dude, it's how I unwind. It really is.
Yeah.
Some people go to the bar. I go to the video games.
Yeah.
You know, even when my wife gets pissed off and you know she's like, "Why are you down there playing video games?" I was like, "All right. I'm going to the bar. Shut up." All right.
Yeah.
It's just, it doesn't
just
make
go back
any
and
better.
Play your games. Then.
It doesn't, yeah. You know, I ordered an arcade one up countertop, you know, thing. It was Galaga and Galaga 88 just the other day. So this morning, I hooked it up as soon as I got home and I'm playing it when the boys are getting ready for school. You know, it's just.
I love it.
It's just little things like that that just. I love. I've got a few. Not a huge arcade, but I got a decent sized arcade literally around the corner here. And I love coming down here by myself and just start playing, you know, it's like the unwind, man. It takes you back.
That's my, usually about the last hour before I go to bed, I fire up the PS4 and, you know, play about an hour's worth of video games. And that's my unwind as well. I get it.
Yeah. Chad's got me on those zombies, man. I can't. It's
oh
fun,
God,
but...
man. He's a Chad. He's that's the only game he plays, which I can't say anything because PUBG is the only thing I play. But he tried to get me into that, and I was like, it's fun, I guess, but I'm going to play something different.
It is fun. I'm glad we have it online to play with all your friends. You know, that's what's made
Yeah, fun. Yeah, I agree. It's cool. We've had days, Chad and I, where we just had a day off, And so we downloaded like a golf game, and I'm sitting in the room and he's sitting in the living room. We're playing golf, you know, just to pass the time. So,
well, let's keep it on media, but a different sort of media. You know, what are you listening to right now? I know you're a big music guy. You know, what do you have on your iPad, iPhone, whatever it is, in your headphones?
So here recently, I've just been seeing what Apple's sampling for me. Let's see what they have for me. Boom, and I just put in this like some older 90s music, R&B, stuff like that. I've turned into my parents. You know how they used to listen to nothing but that old music? And you're like, God dang it. And so my kids get a taste of it now. They're like, oh, Dad, please don't. And so, yeah, I just listened to old 90s R&B or I learned my lesson one time. I think either we went and saw my son's girlfriend play or whatever it was, or went to some game together, and I was taking the girls home. Well, not thinking about it, you know, I'm playing Keith Sweat and all kinds of, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's provocative.
But, yeah, baby making music.
Yeah.
I had no idea. So, yeah, they told their mom, like, you know, Dad was playing music, and we were like, I'm like, oh Jesus! Don't tell her that, for one. And second, I'm sorry. I would, from now on, I'll play. The last time they were in the car, I made sure I was playing my Christian hip hop. So they had the right.
Which I
ideas.
Heard you can school anybody on that, right?
Man, I used to be pretty freaking the man when it comes to the history of Christian hip hop. Like I knew my stuff, but it's hard to keep up with now. You know everything, and my kid. You would think. My oldest son, like I get in the car, he goes in my phone, puts in music. We're listening to the 50s. I'm like, what are we listening to? Dude, like, I don't know if I should be like proud of him or like maybe I should check on him. Like, we're listening to the 50s, guys.
Yeah. So. I got in my wife's car yesterday. We had to go run some errands, get the oil change, go out for lunch. You know, the kids are big enough now they can stay at home for a couple hours by themselves. Mm-hmm. So we get to have kind of like little middle of the day running errand dates now, which is super cool. But we get in my wife's car and The Beautiful People by Marilyn Manson comes on, and it was synced up to my wife's phone. Now I know my wife does not listen to Marilyn Manson, but it came on and I look over and I was like, why did that sync up to Marilyn Manson on your phone? She goes, that's what your son was listening to on my phone the other day. I just started laughing. I was like, really? Okay. Well, maybe I need to check on him. But, you know, we were driving to baseball practice yesterday and, you know, like you said, your son, you know, your kids get in and they start finding what they like and what they don't like and things of that nature. But, you know, yesterday we were driving to baseball practice and my son goes, I want to listen to some music, Dad, but I don't know what I want to listen to. And I was sitting there thinking, cause he likes going back and listening to the stuff that Rebecca and I were listening to when we were younger. And so I was kind of going through I was driving, so I wasn't on my phone, but I was going through some things and I was like, you know what? Let's listen to some REM, you know? And I put on some REM and he's like, yeah, man, I really like this, Dad. You think, you know, I can work on that on the guitar? I was like, absolutely, man. You know, but it's fun to see those light bulb, you know, they have, you know, yeah. Your son's listening to 50s music, you know, like that's where it started. Like there's rarely anything cooler than like some 50s and 60s doo-wop.
I mean, listen, I don't hate it. I just was surprised that he was listening to it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, all right, man. Hey, you check out some Percy Sledge. Let's try that one out too. You know,
Percy was big in my house.
Yeah. So my dad, played it a lot, which is, yeah. I didn't hate it. So yeah, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah. So is there anything, any new artists that you found? I mean, you know, discovering some new stuff that may be old.
I'm literally at my son's fingertips as far as what we're going to listen to. Cause as soon as we get in the car, I don't know, Pal Fu is a kid that seems like a really great guy, does some good music that we enjoy. And so I think he's out of Canada. He's he raps. So, yeah, I like this. He's the one that I know of right off the the cuff there, but
Pal-Fu. Okay.
So you're in the world where you really don't have any control over your life. It's your children that are controlling your life. You can't choose your own music. You can't choose your own TV shows. You can't choose what you have for dinner.
My second oldest, is his music's terrible. I'm like, hey man, we're not listening to that.
Like terrible how? Like what are we talking about? Like Vanilla Ice terrible or
no. Like it's the new age rap that a bunch of these kids are listening to, and they to the point where I go, son, do you know what he's talking about? He goes, I just listened to the beat, which is a lie, because I did. Mm-hmm. I said the same thing to my parents.
Uh-huh.
So whatever that new age stuff and then talking about crap. You know, I can't listen to it, man.
Well, you know, I remember like whenever I was seven, there was I don't know if you remember the Fat Boys with Heavy D.
Oh, freaking love the Fat Boys. And okay, Heavy D.
Crushing.
Heck yeah. Oh man. Heck yes. Yeah.
Yes. We just lost one of the Fat Boys. Just recently passed away. But I remember going to this back. We used to have what was called a Hyper Mart here, and it was like a Walmart but bigger. And it was down here in Texas, or I don't know wherever else they were, but my grandmother used to love to shop there because they had like everything from bananas to VCRs. So we were in the store one time, and I remember being 7 or 8 when Crushin' came out, and I liked rap and hip hop. And I remember conning my grandmother into buying Crushin' for me, and my parents found the tape whenever I got home. And there's some racy, maybe some stuff that 7 or 8 year olds shouldn't be listening to, but I did the same thing. No, I just think the music's cool. And they're like, no, you're listening wow. to the lyrics. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, did you say that? And I didn't know the Fat Boys had any, like, you know, I'm thinking about the Fat Boys are back, you know.
Yeah.
The Fat Boys are back, you know.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. But then they also have a,
you know, and
they have a song called My Nuts, you know, and
NUTZ. Let's get it right.
Oh, so, my God. You know, yeah.
They're going to find it.
I remember listening at the middle school dance, they were playing Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe. You ever listen to lyrics on that?
Like, poison. Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Oh yeah.
Me and the crew used to do it. What? You're letting? Yeah. Holy crap! I mean, I had no idea back then what they were talking about.
Yeah, and then you get older, and you're sitting there thinking,
"Holy crap!
I got away with that. They let me listen. That you just must have missed the thing." Okay, I was 15 years old. AC/DC put out a record called Ball Breaker, and you know, we go to the Blockbuster Music back when we had music stores and things like that. And I buy this record, you know, and my mom and dad were there with me. We get into the truck to go home, and my dad goes, "Hey," so my dad's staunch country, always has been, you know, unless it was Percy Sledge or Lynyrd Skynyrd, it was country. And we get in the truck, and he's like, "Why don't we listen to that new CD you got?" And I'm like, "Oh God, no! Listen, no, we don't need to listen to that." Because at 15, I knew what was on it.
Yeah.
And so we put the CD in, and my dad says, "Huh? All right, you know the music, okay? Yeah, it's good music." And he goes, "This song called Honey Roll comes on," and my dad goes, "Son, let me see that lyric sheet, that, you know, the book." Oh. Like, oh crap, you know. And my dad opens it up and finds Honey Roll and gets to the part they're at. "Honey, roll over and touch your toes." And he goes, "Gayla, turn the truck around. We're taking this back." So we had to take that back at 15. That was pretty embarrassing. But a cool thing on my mom's part was she took me back to the store the next week without my dad, and she let me buy the same CD again. So that was cool. Thanks, Mom.
Wow. Is this before it had the explicit, you know, on there where we knew if it was?
Yeah, I think at that time, I mean, you're talking early to mid 90s. So I think at that time they still had the explicit thing. I don't know if they put it on that record or not, just because I don't think there was any like foul language, the F-bombs or anything like that.
It was the innuendos.
Yeah, that's what AC/DC was all about, was the innuendos, which was very smart, very clever, and some of the best at it, you know, but.
Hey, AC/DC will get you pumped, man.
Well, guys,
and get you in trouble. So,
I think what we're finding out is our parents decided to just choose their battles, and one song you're going to get away with, and one song you're not. Because I'm telling you, I'm not going to fight them over some of their, like, I'm just like, look, dude, other things I got to deal with.
It's not just that either. You're talking about, you know, your mom let you get it, your dad took it, made you take it back, and that still goes on in in my family. Like, all right, let me talk to your mom for you. Yeah, okay, listen, that's not that bad. And or it's like, hey, dude, we're not going to win this one. Let's just sit this one out.
Yeah. I know. That's how it is with kids, man. Well, hey, man, we've been rapping for a little bit, and I don't want to keep you too long, but we do have one section at the end of the show that we like to do. It's kind of a rapid fire thing, or you can give as short or answer as you want.
I'll screw this one up.
And so basically these are the really hard hitting questions that really, you know, these are the things that the people really want to know. We're going to grill you really hard right now before we wrap it up and get into the plugs and what's coming up and all that and social media and things like that. But this section's called Why Do I Know This? And Bobby Keith and Josh host this section. So, tear him up, boys.
All right, so I got four today just because I've always wanted to know one. So when you're the champion in the company, do you have to carry the belt around or does it go in a road case?
And it goes on in your back. You have to carry it with you through the airport, wherever you go, because we need to have a live event championship and we need to have one for a Raw or a SmackDown. Now, the Raw and SmackDown, the one that you see on TV, is much nicer, cleaner, looks beautiful. The one that goes on the road, you're just going to be thrown around. It's going to be thrown in your bag. It's going to be taken out by, you know, the guys at the airport looking through your bag and showing everybody else your belt, you know, so.
All right. How many times does people, do they put it over their head as they're looking at it? Oh, shit. Oh,
man. I would.
There's been one instance. I was like, hey, man, put that back in the bag. So I'm goofing around. So
I got to catch a flight.
He made me mad. He went through the whole bag and celebrated with the belt. So.
All right, sorry.
Your favorite video game, past or present, you can always just go to.
Nostalgia is always going to play a big part in what I always pick. And my dad got the last copy of Super Mario Brothers 2. I love the fact that Super Mario Brothers 2 is not like any other. In fact, Super Mario Brothers 2, it's really another game called Doki Doki Panic in Japan that you could only get on disc that was through Nintendo. They just changed the characters, came out with a Super Mario Brothers 2, which was really just another game. But for me, it was so much cooler because it was just a dream to Mario. You know, it was just having a dream. That's why all the characters didn't make sense, and it was very clever of Nintendo. But that's my nostalgia game that I'll always go to.
Favorite 2 a.m. meal?
2 a.m. meal. Oof, man, that's a tough one because now I'm carb cycling and things aren't the same. but if I could go back and I could have any 2 a.m. meal, it'd be the Golden Oreos, double stuffed.
Oh, yeah.
Not just the regular Oreos, the gold ones.
Right. Last one for me, a morning person or a night owl?
Night owl, 100%. Yep, I'm up way too late.
Yeah, same. I think, we used to be.
Yeah, I've become a morning person now for the first time in my life.
Ew. Sounds terrible, right?
It's horrible.
I don't know why I keep doing it to myself. I don't know why I stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning. Dude, I will procrastinate and work out at 1 o'clock in the morning. Now I'm up because I got my heart rate up, so I can't go to bed after. So about 3 o'clock, I finally go to sleep. I have to wake up at 7 o'clock, make sure everybody gets up and get my half of the kids to school. My wife takes the other half, and yeah,
we do it to ourselves. We do it to ourselves.
I keep doing it.
Yep. All right, buddy. Have you ever run a vehicle out of gas?
Never.
Never. That is the correct answer to that question. Number two, do you believe in ghosts?
I want to. I believe in the Holy Ghost. That's about the only ghost that I've felt, you know.
Gotcha. So. And if you were to, I'll just ask, do you have any stupid human tricks?
Stupid human tricks.
Yeah, you have any?
Nope, I'm fresh out, I think.
Okay. I don't know, if you were to go on Letterman, or would you?
No, I mean, Letterman, sure. I mean, I could probably show you some old Michael Jackson moves, you know.
Oh, okay.
Like just that go around with the moonwalk, like the sign moonwalk into the circle, you know. And
throw yeah.
A little like, you know, because I was breaking back in the day.
Okay.
I went by Limbo.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to remember that. I'm going to mark that one so the next time we run into you.
Hey,
AJ. Hey, man. What about that little moonwalk thing you got going on?
Come on, Limbo. I'm going to see if my brother's around. Nate Fresh and Leadhead. So, yeah.
Nate Fresh, Leadhead, and
Limbo.
Yeah, that's me and my brothers.
I love it.
Oh, my gosh. That's too funny, man.
You get a cardboard box, you know, knock it all out, and hopefully you can break dance on the cardboard box.
Oh, my gosh.
Everybody was doing it, man. Break it to Electric Boogaloo. But go on. You guys know.
Oh, I remember, man. I had a friend of mine named Stephen Glenn when we were, you know, early 90s, like – short little white guy, man, could just break dance like crazy.
So cool,
I remember coming home and telling my mom and dad, like, I want to take hip hop lessons. And they're like, what is that? And I said, well, like break dance lessons. And I'm like, they have that? And I was like, well, my friend Steven does it, you know, and he looks super cool. But, you know, I never learned how to break dance because I have zero rhythm and dance. I can't two step. I can mess up the white boy shuffle.
Listen, I back in the day, man, you know, kid and play, all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I would go, like, we'd go to the skating rink and the kids would skate. I would dance. That was my deal. That's what I did. So not saying I'm the best dancer in the world. I'm just saying I may have a move or two.
Okay. You know?
Okay, I'm going to file that away, AJ.
File it away, man. You'll be surprised.
I appreciate it, man. We're gonna let you go here in just a second. Other than the big news that we had at the beginning, which we'll close out on that in a minute. I mean, what do you need to plug? Places you can go, websites, Instagrams, where people can go check out what you're doing.
Well, I think I'm P1 AJ Styles on Instagram. I haven't been on it so much I can't remember. AJ Styles ORG on Twitter. So I would love to tell you how much I'm on social media these days, but. I'm not. So yeah, I'm pretty useless right now.
I hear you, man. I try to do as limited amount of those things as I can.
I do look at it often, but I just don't. I don't know, man. Here lately, just social media has kind of drove me crazy.
Oh, tell me about it. Yeah, I know, man. I know. Well, hey, tell you what, April 10th and 11th.
Oh yeah, forget about that.
Tag team championship just happened.
Oh my god!
What? Okay, yeah. Geez. I totally forgot about that.
Remember, I just got home this morning. Guys.
I was about to say this just happened. It's okay.
Oh man! For the Raw Tag Team Championship title against the New Day, who my son is also a fan of. So, you know, I think that he'll make an exception. I think we're going to be pulling for you guys.
That's good, because if he doesn't, I'm going to have Omar squishing.
Okay. Oh man, I love it. Well, AJ, man, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you just got home, you're tired, and this was a last minute deal anyway. So thank you very, very much, very sincerely, for taking the time and being so gracious and being so good to us, you know, from the time we met you and just staying in touch and all that good stuff. So for me, Josh Thompson, Bobby Keith Kilgore, Seth Noseworthy, turning the knobs out in Nashville, Tennessee. Thank you very, very much. AJ Styles, everybody, and the best of luck to you, brother.
Thanks, man. I enjoyed it. I really did.
Oh, man. All right. You've been listening to A Couple In with Cody Jinks, and our guest today has been WWE superstar AJ Styles, and we will see you guys next time. Thank you.